The countdown to Election Day continues just 13 days away from November 8th.
Harry Enten joins us now with the latest polling data in the race for president, the U.S. Senate, and more.
Harry's a senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. He joins us each week at this time. Harry, welcome back.
Great to be back.
What is the latest in the presidential polling, Harry?
Well, Hillary Clinton led last week. She leads this week. She's held a consistent lead for pretty much this entire campaign. There is some argument perhaps to be made that Donald Trump has cut Hillary Clinton's lead just a little bit, but instead of her leading nationally by, say, 7 percentage points, she now leads by, say, closer to 6 percentage points. But either way you look at it, it's a sizable lead for her.
That's national polling. How about some of the latest in key battleground states?
Well, we're, you know, again, if you look at a state like Florida, perhaps there's been a slight tightening. But again, this is a state Donald Trump needs to win, and the vast majority of the polls have Hillary Clinton leading. Today, for example, there was one poll that got a lot of press, the Bloomberg poll that had Donald Trump up 2, but then there were 3 other polls that had Hillary Clinton up 3, and you kind of see that pattern across the states. Hillary Clinton's ahead in Florida, she's ahead in North Carolina, she's ahead in Virginia, she's ahead in Colorado, she's ahead in Nevada, and she's ahead in New Hampshire and Wisconsin. And with that, it's almost all but a cooked cake unless Donald Trump is able to turn most of those states around.
This is almost a quadrennial argument here, maybe a biennial one, I don't know. But there are some people out saying now, well, look at some of these polls. They're oversampling, overrepresenting Democrats in the poll, thus skewing the polls in Hillary Clinton's behalf. You've argued about this with people, I think, for years now, Harry. Talk us through the argument.
It's an argument. I would like to think arguments make more sense than this particular one. But essentially, pollsters do not weight by party identification. You know, pollsters ask, do you identify as a Democrat, Republican, or Independent? Pollsters don't weight by that. They weight by demographics such as age, race, gender. These are things that are fixed. Party identification can change. For instance, perhaps you are someone who voted in the Republican primary for Marco Rubio, and you really don't like that the GOP decided to pick Donald Trump, so now you identify as an independent. Those types of numbers, the party identification numbers, can change. What's most important is that pollsters weight to demographics, which are stable, and pretty much all pollsters do that, and the pollsters doing that right now have Hillary Clinton ahead of Donald Trump.
So in a year where, say, the Democratic candidate is doing well, some more people in the polls will identify themselves as Democrats on the thinking that they're voting for the Democrat.
Sure. I mean, that it's exactly. It's an attitude. It's not a fixed demographic. It's an attitude. Remember, 8 years ago, Democrats, there were 7 percentage points more of voters identified as Democrats in the exit polls than Republicans versus in 2004. In fact, the party identification was even. It wasn't that we necessarily had different people turning out. It's just that the people who were turning out claimed to be identify with a different party than they did 4 years afterward.
Now, speaking of attitudes, there has been some interesting polling trying to answer the question, are people voting for one candidate or are they voting against the other candidate? We've talked about the negatives, the high negatives for both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. There's a thought that a lot of people are voting for a candidate just to stop the other one. Some polling tried to tease that out. What did we find out?
Well, essentially, we take the ABC News poll, which I wrote about, asks, are you, you know, mainly supporting a candidate or are you mainly voting to oppose a candidate? And what they found was that the majority of Hillary Clinton voters, about 56% of them, said that they were mostly voting for Hillary Clinton because they liked her, not voting for her because they were opposed to Donald Trump. And that's about average going back for candidates since 1980. So it's not as if Hillary Clinton voters are more likely to say, oh, I'm just voting for the lesser of two evils compared to other candidates in the past. If you look at Donald Trump's numbers, however, and you look at the ABC News poll, you can see, in fact, the majority of Trump voters, in fact, are voting for Trump merely because Hillary Clinton is the Democratic nominee. They're not voting for Donald Trump because they like Donald Trump, which to me is so interesting because there's been all this fascination with who are the Donald Trump voters, why are they backing him? Well, the answer, it seems, for most of them is that they just don't like the other person running.
Talking to Harry Enten from 538.com. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at ForecasterEnten, looking at the latest news from the campaign trail. So some of the big news over the last week, Harry, Donald Trump is ending his high-value campaign fundraising, the kind of fundraising it sounds like that benefits the Republican Party the most, as opposed to his online stuff where they only get a small cut. What did you make of that development?
Well, I think it's just a continuation of the differences that Donald Trump has with the Republican Party and the infrastructure that's in place. Most Republicans, at least who work for the RNC, didn't want Donald Trump to be the nominee, and they have perhaps not been as friendly to him. Obviously, Paul Ryan, who is the leading Republican in government right now, is not a huge fan of Donald Trump's, and it seems that Trump, realizing that he's trailing in these final weeks, is lashing out a little bit. But I should point out it's very unusual for a candidate to cut themselves off to the party in this way. It's just a sign of how bizarre this year truly is.
Right. I mean, there's talk of the party, or at least some people like Paul Ryan, in a way, cutting themselves off from the Donald Trump campaign, too, saying, no, let's focus on Congress, and the implicit idea being maybe president, that's a lost cause this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I think there's almost a mutual recognition where Trump doesn't like them, and the insiders don't like Donald Trump, and Trump right now is going down with the ship. And look, Donald Trump, I don't really think after this year, if he loses by the margin, suggesting some of these polls, is going to have too much of a future with the Republican Party. And I think he is just fed up with them and is fed up with losing.
And the future of the Republican Party, there's been some polling on this. Who do you want to see as the future face of the Republican Party? Donald Trump's name is up there. Mike Pence is up there. Paul Ryan doesn't look so good, at least in one of the polls I saw. So is that going to be a source of worry for the RNC?
It could be going forward, but I should point out that it's one thing to take that polling when Donald Trump is still a viable candidate for president of the United States, and it's another after if he does, in fact, lose. Voters don't tend to like losers, and we saw, in fact, you know, last time around that people, once Romney lost, they were willing to give it up, and, you know, even though they were very much Republican voters very much behind him going into the election. So let's take a look at that polling after the election, see where it stands.
You at 538 had a chat about the Democratic Party and a possible future split there between, say, a President Hillary Clinton and the more liberal wing of the party, Bernie Sanders supporters and others. What were some of the conclusions you came to?
Well, I think, you know, we pay so much attention to what's going on with the Republican Party and the divisions that are in there. The Democratic Party had a very close primary, and I think we need to recognize that the power right now is with the insurgents. You know, we saw Bernie Sanders come up from basically out of nowhere. He's obviously been backing Hillary Clinton, but it'd be very interesting to see once Hillary Clinton gets into office, when you look at trade deals, when you look at, say, the AT&T Time Warner merger, what happens? Hillary Clinton might be more for free trade, might be more for a merger like that, and seeing if there's perhaps a real anti-business wing, a more populist wing of the Democratic Party that comes up. And I should also point out, of course, that there are some real age differences and some real racial and educational differences within the Democratic Party that really we haven't seen in past years. And so it'll be very interesting to exactly figure out what happens when Hillary Clinton gets into office and whether there's some real pressure from the grassroots to keep her tied closer to more, say, liberal or progressive positions.
You've written in the past week about another party, the Libertarian Party. This was maybe going to be their year. Two major party candidates with high negatives, some higher elected officials, two former governors on the ticket led by Gary Johnson, was looking better than usual in the polls earlier. He slipped. What happened?
Well, I think that there were a few things that happened. Number one, obviously, traditionally, we do see third-party candidates lose steam as we get closer to the general election. People recognize that it's a two-party system we live in, and you have to choose one of the two. But I also think what happened was, you know, Gary Johnson, at the end of the day, was not a great candidate. He obviously made a number of slip-ups on national television, including forgetting what Aleppo exactly was in Syria. And then I would, you know, also point out that after the first debate, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, at that time, it really became a two-person race, I think, in most voters' minds. And because Gary Johnson wasn't on the debate stage, although it probably wouldn't necessarily have helped him, given how some of his television interviews have gone, it's just a confluence of events, and his polling continues to drop. Now we're only projecting him to win 5.4% of the national vote. And if he doesn't get above 5%, it means that the Libertarian Party will not get federal funding in the future.
Let's turn to the U.S. Senate now. A lot of people watching that to see if Democrats have a shot to take control from the Republicans. What's some of the latest polling there?
It's close. You know, if the presidential race perhaps is a little tighter this week than it was last week, the Senate remains just very, very tight. Obviously, Democrats need a net gain of 4 if Hillary Clinton wins the presidency to take control of the United States Senate. Right now, they have two seats that look like it's going to go their way. Illinois won, and obviously in Wisconsin with Russ Feingold and defeating Ron Johnson looking probable at this point. That's two. But then there's a whole question of where do the other two seats come from? And they're very tight races in Nevada, in North Carolina, in New Hampshire, in Pennsylvania, Indiana, and Missouri. And Democrats look like they'll probably be able to get the net gain of four that they need, but it's only two-thirds of the time in our sort of model simulations that that occurs. So it's very, very tight. I can't tell you where those other two seats are necessarily going to come from, but it seems like they'll get them from somewhere.
How about the Donald Trump factor? How is that affecting Republican Senate candidates?
Well, I think that Republicans wish Donald Trump wasn't at the top of the ticket. We know across the states that Donald Trump tends to be underperforming how the Republican Senate candidates are doing. That's very different than it was 4 years ago, where Mitt Romney was, in fact, running ahead of most of the Republican Senate candidates. He is a drag on the ticket where Mitt Romney perhaps was helpful. And if Republicans are able to hold on to control the United States Senate, it would be quite an amazing feat, given how poorly Trump is polling in most of these states.
Any polls that you're hankering to see, states that you think are underpolled that you want more data on?
I would love if we could get a poll from the Missouri Senate race, a reliable poll. This is a state that most people acknowledge is close. Our model has it is very close between Democrat Jason Kander, who's a 35-year-old who was in the armed services, a Democrat in Missouri, going up against Roy Blunt, the incumbent. The limited polls we have suggest a close race, but most of them aren't reliable polls. I'd like to see at least one or two more reliable polls to get a better understanding of where that race is.
Well, one thing, Harry, you're sadly not seeing this year is the New York Mets in the World Series. We've got a Midwestern World Series. Cleveland up now 1-0 over the Cubs. Have you picked a team since your Mets aren't there?
I have, this is the tough question. I went to a playoff game at Wrigley Field earlier this year. But that said, I think I am leaning towards the Cleveland Indians. I don't exactly know why. I think it's because it's the less cool thing to do, and I'm not that cool of a guy. So, you know, I have to go against the grain. So I am picking the Cleveland Indians, which right now is working out for me.
All right, and our apologies to our neighbors in Chicago. Harry, thanks, as always, for joining us.
Thank you.
Harry Enten is a senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. He joins us every week to give us the latest in national politics.